Dre Rocka, 92.5 The Beat of Salt Lake, All Rock Media, and you are listening to the Will Wonder Pod.
Bars, let's go, y'all. This is Gabino Grimes, Mike Masters Alliance, Rap Battle's finest out here in Utah, and you are now listening to one of my best friends' podcasts, the Will Wonder Pod.
Real quick, let me just start off by saying this is Peter Rosenberg, your forever 24/7 champion, host of the GP Podcast, and I want to shout out the Will Wonder Podcast.
What's going on? This is Brisk Warner, and you're checking on my man DJ Will Wonder on the Will Wonder Podcast. Yeah.
What's up, everybody? This is Emerson Kennedy, world famous Scarlett Johansson lover, world renowned Jordan denier, and I hope you are tuning into my personal favorite podcast, the Will Wonder Podcast. That's my brother for real. He has terrible takes, but I'm still listening, man. Will, what's up?
What's up? What's up?
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 145 of the Will Wonder Pod. Hope everyone was doing really well. Hope you all enjoyed 31 days of Halloween. It's a lot of work to do that, but it's also a lot of fun to do that. So hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed actually doing it. I'll make sure to bring that back next year. Just finished Halloween. You know, obviously if 31 days of Halloween ended, Halloween just ended. And went trick-or-treating with my son, my guy, come on, Alex, Mike Thompson, his wife and their daughter, some family, my nephews, and we had a lot of fun, man. It was a lot of fun. Halloween's always really cool, especially when you have kids, just to see them experiencing it, having a lot of fun trick-or-treating, getting candy, and yeah. My neighbor, Jesus Christ, my neighbor does costumes for a couple of haunted houses. And he had this thing called a Wendigo, I think it was, which is, I mean, I talk about it here coming up with Hoop, but it's fucking terrifying. And shout out to him, because when I got home from trick-or-treating, he was out there in the front yard in this massive monster outfit. I'll put it on the cover of this podcast as well as the reel on Instagram so you can see it, but shit was wild. Other than that, man, nothing really going on. I took down all the Halloween decorations already. You know, I've been working a lot. Work sucks. there's no other better way to describe it, but it sucks. But I'm here. I have a job. I'm thankful. And yeah, that's all I got to say about that. I did want to touch on some NBA topics. Most importantly, the James Harden trade. And feels like I just not too long ago said, oh, let's talk about the James Harden trade. And before that, let's talk about the James Harden trade. I don't know how this works out for the Clippers. Love Kawhi Leonard. He's not the same guy anymore after the surgeries. Him and PG can't seem to stay healthy. Paul George, for those who don't know what that means. Russ has had a little bit of a resurgence in LA. And then you add James Harden, who might be up there on the list of people who just like really mess up organizations from a personnel standpoint, from a player standpoint, the trades that have to go down. I don't know how this is going to work out. Recapping the full trade, Sixers get Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, bunch of draft picks, some pick swaps for Harden and PJ Tucker. And I don't think either team really wins on this. Philly was kind of screwed regardless because James Harden didn't want to be there. Seemed like LA, the Clippers, were the place he wanted to go. So when that happens, really, what do you do? Clippers are probably excited to get a name like that. Ballmer's probably kind of hyped to get a name like that. But we've seen this show before, right? From the Rockets to the Nets, from the Nets to the Sixers, from the Sixers to the Clippers. And we thought Kyrie Irving was bad, right? Or maybe they're the same in that standpoint. I don't know. But I will say this. If, in fact, those four guys can play together and stay healthy, it'll at least be fun to watch. Not a lot of defense from James Harden, but maybe he doesn't have to play it with PG, with Kawhi, with Russ's dog that he has in him that I love to reference all the time. But I don't think this helps him. It doesn't help him beat Denver. I don't know if it helps them. I don't know. On paper, this should be great. But we already know what James Harden's about. We already know Kawhi can't stay healthy. We already know Paul George can't stay healthy. And don't get me wrong, I love Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Like, they're some of my favorite players when they are playing. But it just doesn't happen. I love Russ, too. I don't love James Harden's game whatsoever. And it seems like he's kind of a dick to the rest of the teammates that he's had. Makes situations awkward. Calls out his boy Daryl Morey, right? We talked about that earlier in the year anyways, saying he would never play for Daryl Morey. When Daryl Morey's the guy that brought him to Philly, who he said he wanted to play for the organization. I think in the long run, this kind of sets up things for possibly Philly to make another move, bring someone to come in to play with Embiid, because if they don't, Embiid's probably out of there. Daryl Morey's probably out of a job. James Harden probably screws over the Clippers in some form or fashion. Or maybe it's his team because Kawhi and PG can't stay healthy. At the end of the day, though, doesn't help him beat the Nuggets. So, really, don't want to spend too much more time on it. Though, like I said, it will be fun. It will be a bit of a soap opera in LA, and maybe that's enough to make people buy tickets to the new billion-dollar stadium that Ballmer is building. I don't know. Time will tell. I don't know if anything else really stands out the first week other than Victor Wembanyama is a lot of fun to watch. I guess I should say 2 weeks, rather. He's a lot of fun to watch. Boston's undefeated. Denver's undefeated. Two teams that we think will be there towards the end. Milwaukee. Dame's been up and down. But there's not a lot you can take from the first week to 2 weeks saying, yep, that's exactly who I thought they would be, because you just can't. Phoenix still hasn't played at full strength. We don't know what they're going to look like. Zion's healthy. How long will that last? Dallas is 3-0. How long will that last until Kyrie's like, hey, I got a problem with such and such? I'll just leave it at that. We'll obviously get more in-depth in the NBA as the season rolls on. But did want to touch on that James Harden trade just a little bit. Coming up, we're going to talk some football. My guy Hoop is back. We're going to talk about week 8 and then give some week 9 predictions. We talk a little bit about the trades, which, man, I don't know. I mean, you're going to hear me talk about this Commanders trade. I still don't truly know how I feel about it. But it is what it is. Anything else? Oh, we're moving numbers on the Will Wonder Pod YouTube. By moving numbers, I mean we're doing really well right now. Up to 94 subscribers. Goal is 100 by the end of the year. I only need 6 more. Tell a friend. Shoot them a link. The Will Wonder Pod YouTube. You can still go on there and see everything we've done. All the way from the very first Halloween episode, to which you probably don't want to watch now, but it is very entertaining. Had a lot of fun doing that last year. To interviews with Gabino Grimes, Musa Aiden, JD Allen. We have so many on there. Great interviews. Learn about really fascinating people and the things that they're doing here in Salt Lake City and outside of Salt Lake City as well. Also have the special, the Will Wonder Pod Live special that's up. That's doing really well. Talking to Inglewood Films about LG, you got a pain. I got a video up there with my dad. We just drink beers and answer questions that... fans of the pod, listeners of the pod, rather, sent in. So the Will Wonder Pod YouTube, subscribe, send it to a friend. Would really appreciate it. Only need 6 more subs to reach 100 by the end of the year, which was the goal. Now, without further ado, we will get into this NFL talk with my guy, Ebenezer Scrooge, when it comes to Halloween, Hoop. Wow, week 8. Of the NFL is come and gone. Week 9 is ahead of us. Halloween, we had Halloween. I got my guy Hoop. Hoop, what did you do on Halloween? Did you have fun? What did you dress up as?
I mean, we half-assed dressed up. I'm not a big Halloween guy. I've made that clear to you. And it's probably one of our few major disagreements that we have. But
that's really the only thing that drives a wedge between you and I.
So, yeah, I mean, we went because we just had Carter because Ethan was at his birth mom's for the week and Jaden's obviously off at college. Yeah. So Carter wanted to be a Ninja Turtle. That's what he's into. the last little bit. So he was Donatello because that's his guy.
Oh, and there then you go.
Jen and I just ordered some like plain, like some Ninja Turtle t-shirts off of Amazon that had like the front on them. And I went with Raph because I'm the angry one in the family.
Yeah, I was going to say that's perfect.
They say I'm the aggressive one. And then Jen's been tagged the leader of the family. So she was Leonardo. And we just went over to George's house and went through their neighborhood so Carter and Desmond could walk around together. That way Carter wasn't by himself on Halloween. Kept warm with a few adult beverages of choice and walked around the neighborhood. There was a whole house. There was a house. They're like, oh, the adult trick-or-treating is down there. And they had Jello shots and stuff like that mixed up. And like, you want a beer? I was like, I got one in my hand right now. I mean, we're that couple. But the craziest thing. So this kid comes up to me and George, and I don't know why he picked us, but he's like, hey, there's a couple fighting over there. Now we're in George lives out in Magna. So people of Magna, you know how they be.
Wow.
And the kid's like, there's a couple fighting. And we're like, what? And he goes, well, like, what should I, like, they're fighting. And like, he like was pushing her. And I was like, hold on, what?
And oh man.
We're like, all right. Well, I was like, hey, you go be a kid. You go enjoy your trick-or-treating, we'll take care of it. And then they happened to be like the house right next to us, and you could hear the guy yelling at the girl. The kid would go up to the door, and then he's like yelling at her, and like they're fighting back and forth. And I was like, we haven't seen him put hands on her, but if he puts hands on her, George, we're doing something right. And he's like, oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, and then it seemed to like progress like each house, and we're like, so finally, like, our wives are like, don't, like, leave it alone. Like, you never know. Like, what if the guy's like carrying a gun or something? Like, you never know. Like, just stay out of it. Just stay out. I'm like, I can stay out of it, but if he hits her, like, I can't stay out of it at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so George eventually, like, he just starts walking over. I mean, he's a big guy anyway. So I was like, well, he's going. I got to go. And Jen and Alyssa are like, oh my God. Oh my God. And George walks up and he's like, hey, are you good? And he asks the girl, are you good? And the dude kind of just stops talking and like grabs her by the arm and like kind of like tries to like shuttle her away. And she's like, I'm fine. We're good. I'm fine. And so George was like, she says she's fine. And I was like, well, we'll see. God. And then like on the next street over, like a car pulled up and picked the kid up. And then the fighting couple just stormed off down the street, arguing with each other, walking off. I was like, well,
Jesus. Way to ruin Halloween for the kids, you asshole.
Yeah. God. But I was like, well, at least the kid's out of there now. I feel a little bit better. We tried to help. Girl said, nah, I got it. So if there was any DV cases that came up over in Magna last night, well,
Jesus.
Maybe we should have de-escalated it more. But that was my Halloween, man. So
wow. Okay. Well, mine was good. It was nothing like that. Did a lot of trick-or-treating with my son and like some friends and their kid. And then my nephew and my two nephews. Well, one of them is like, you know, 3 months old. So he was just, you know, a baby for Halloween. And then the other one is three. So he was really amped. This was his first time trick-or-treating. In-laws neighborhood, you know, so they give out like fat grill candy bars. And like, there's this whole street behind them that just does this whole, like, there's smoke and it's all their yards are decorated really awesome. Different themes. And, you know, there's the like two
that we had to leave to go to when we were kids. Cause we didn't live in a Marsha.
1000%. Yeah. I know. I told my wife, I'm like, this is awesome that you grew up around this. but yeah, it was good, man. It was good. And then got home at like a decent time, really, like 7:45 ish. My new neighbors, I put a video of this up and you saw it on the Instagram. And
yeah,
dude does costumes for like some of the haunted houses around here. So he had one and he was scaring the shit out of kids. It's called like the one thing he had on is like a Wendigo. So for those who don't know what that is, and I didn't know what that was, I just thought this is a creepy costume. Some type of Native American demon or something, but it's like a head of a, I guess, like a deer, but it's a skeleton, right? So not like with, it's a skeleton of a deer. And then the body of like, kind of like a bear, but with long skinny legs. It's terrifying. One of the junior high kids that was driving or riding his bike by said, God damn, that's nightmare juice. I said, that is an accurate description, a description rather of what that is. But Yeah, sounds like we had two totally different Halloween nights.
Well, glad it was good, and glad we're past it and on to some actual fun, good holidays, right? Right?
I mean, I enjoy Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it's, you know, I think Christmas, I love, you know, seeing it through my son's eyes. But outside of that, it's just like a bunch of greedy people like, oh, I want this for Christmas. And it's like, eh, get the fuck out of here. I love Thanksgiving, good food, family. But, you know, my poor mom, and we've done Thanksgiving at our house twice. And it's just cooking for hours and hours and hours. And then the food, you know, you eat and within like 30 minutes, it's done. And then, you know, people go on their way. But a lot of good football. So, you know, there you go. I guess they're great holidays.
They're just better than Halloween.
One day, if I'm ever president, I'm going to make Halloween an actual holiday and everyone gets work off. Okay. Then maybe people will enjoy it a little bit more. So, yeah. Enough of that. Enough of Halloween. It's in the past. Let's talk about some week 8 games. Again, I said we're not going to cover everything. Bills, Bucks, 24-18. It is what it is. That was almost a week away now. So we're just going to leave that right where it's at. One game I did want to talk about to start, and it might be a weird one to start with, is Jets Giants. The Jets get the win 13-10, right?
The Jets won the punt-a-thon.
There was more punts than there was scores. Or was it more punts than there was
more punts than points? It was more because the final score was 13-10 and there was 24 punts in the game.
That's right. And there was 17 plus 6 completed passes. So there you go. There was more. How many punts did you say? 24?
24 between the two teams.
Yeah. So then there was also more punts than there were completed passes in this game. Jets fans actually, like, they feel good, at least from what I'm seeing on socials, right? They're pretty like, oh, yeah, we won't die, yada, yada. But can we be real for a minute? Like,
aren't we always?
Yeah. The Jets are the weirdest fucking team. Like, they're a team that, you know, beat Philly without their two starting corners. They win the ugliest game of the year this last week. They win that first game against the Bills, you know, when Rodgers goes down in the first couple plays and like seems super motivated. I don't know, man. What do we make of the Jets? I know what we make of the Giants, especially if Danny DeVito or Tommy DeVito, whatever his name is the quarterback. But what do we make of the Jets?
DeVito threw for -9 yards on the day. Danny DeVito technically threw for more yards from his couch or wherever he happened to be on Sunday. But yeah, like it's so that with the Jets, like obviously I think if they had Rodgers, they're considerably better. Mm-hmm. They're finding a way to win because of their defense, like keeping teams to 10 points and like doing this week in, week out. Is it sustainable for an entire season? Well, we're about to find out if it is or not. Like we're going to find out because they're not consistent enough offensively with Zach Wilson to really be like a, what I would call a contender, a real threat to anybody. Mm-hmm. But like we could also say, like there's still one questionable pass interference holding call on Sauce Gardner from beating the Chiefs, and the Eagles. So who knows? Like, and the most exciting throw of the game was Aaron Rodgers throwing pregame, which is I don't know what is what that dude took or is taking or is doing. I've seen the conspiracies. Oh well, he didn't really tear his Achilles. It was all a ploy okay. All right. But I mean, him throwing passes and walking around the way he is 2 months later, whatever it is.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But the Jets, we'll find out how long they can keep this up. And if their defense can stay healthy, like if they could do it for a whole season, they just might sneak in. And I saw something that said if they're in the playoff hunt come week 12, Rodgers could play, which would be absolutely insane.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. That's nuts. And they very well could be, you know, that's the weird thing. Like I don't know. We're going to get back to them when we start, when we pick for next or this upcoming week's games. But yeah, that's weird. It's a weird season in whole for the NFL. Like, can you tell me right now that you have a bona fide like Super Bowl pick? I know you don't win championships in October. Like people always say that. Oh, I don't think of anything of October. But as it stands right now, could you say, oh yeah, I know for sure the Chiefs are coming out of the AFC and the Eagles are coming out of the NFC?
No.
No, hell no. I know.
Because everybody's been inconsistent.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles lost to the Jets without their two starting corners. The Bills have been world beaters against in 1 week, and then they look like hot trash the next week. The Chiefs haven't looked consistently good offensively, which is the weird part.
Mm-hmm.
If you think like you would have thought their offense would be consistent, but they're not.
Yeah, but the defense has been really good for them. That's the weird thing.
And then like the 49ers, they looked unbeatable for a stretch out the gate, and now they've lost three in a row and offensively can't find their footing, which is weird. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, same thing. They get smoked by the 49ers, and then they come out and then they play good for a few weeks, and you're like, well, who's it going to be? And we don't.
Yeah. And then now all of a sudden they're them boys again, huh? We got to deal with our boy Chacon, who was ready to send Dak Prescott off to like some island somewhere and
sending him to the Arena Football League in Canada or some shit. I don't know.
But now, anyways,
they're back.
I'm glad we had to reschedule this because I didn't want to hear his ass. You know, I know he had a lot of shit to say about my team and his, but I mean, we'll get him on the future podcast. All right, let's move on. Another game I wanted to touch on, only for basically quarterbacks changing. Falcons, Tennessee. Will Levis looks like the reincarnation of fucking, I don't know, Peyton Manning or something. 238 yards, 4 touchdowns. Derrick Henry looked good on the ground. And then Desmond Ridder gets hurt, concussion protocol, but then he's cleared to come back in. But they're like, oh, no, he's not cleared. We're going to keep Taylor Heinicke out there. Well, this upcoming week, Heinicke's getting the start in Atlanta, which kind of tells you what they think about Desmond Ridder going forward out there. But this game, though, man, Levis, with those 4 touchdowns, do you think he's a real dude, or do you think, hey, he's playing Atlanta, and we'll go from there?
I mean, he has the ability to make some throws, and like he made a throw, like falling backwards, getting hit, that he lobbed out 40 yards or some shit on a dot. And you're like, okay, that's unique arm talent.
Yeah.
But it's the Falcons, who aren't very good.
Yeah.
And it was his first game, and they didn't announce that he was starting until like Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, it was pretty late in the week. So if they're thinking like, okay, we're prepping for Tannehill or Willis or whoever, and then like, okay, well, they're going to ride with Levis. Like, again, with everybody, like you expect professional level coaches outside of Josh McDaniels to get a read on people and adjust once they see film.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to just be like all in. Like, oh, Will Levis is a dude because he did it 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
If he does it again this week, it's starting to get there. But it's still going to have to be pretty consistent, because we've seen plenty of people come in 1 week here and there and, you know, tear shit up. And then a week later, they look horrible. And you're like, ah, which one are they really?
Right. I wonder if that swayed them in not trading Derrick Henry. You know, like, because there's always rumors, but there seemed like there were so many rumors around Henry before the trade deadline, and Levis looks really good in that game.
I also think that the running back market, like we saw it with contract negotiations, and they were shopping to trade Saquon or whoever running back wise, like they were never going to get back what they felt was a fair deal anyway.
Yeah, that makes sense. We'll move on. We won't even really talk about this game other than the fact that there's no more winless teams in the NFL. Carolina gets their first win against Houston. That's all I'm going to say. I didn't watch the game at
Texans
all.
Texans look good, and then they lose to the winless Panthers, and you're like, okay, they're the Texans still.
Yeah. See, another one where you're like, what the fuck? I don't know what to think about any team this year. except for mine, and we'll get to that here shortly. Just because Chacon's not on here, I'll just go ahead and give him a shout out. Cowboys win 43-20 against the Rams. A lot of points. I believe his text was something along the lines of, oh, when Dak realizes he has two Pro Bowl receivers, he looks good. And I'm like, two? And he's trying to throw Brandon Cooks in there. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, he has been a Pro Bowler. So I guess if we're referring to him like we do presidents of the United States, you always refer to them as Mr. President for life or whatever. I guess we're doing that. Like,
yeah.
Current Pro Bowl? No.
Yeah.
Has they been to
history?
One?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Anything you want to touch on in the Packers Vikings, obviously, besides the glaring
Cousins injury is big. That's big. And Jordan Love fucking stinks. I'm sick of it. I guess I would have to go back and look, but I think he has not surpassed 100 yards passing in a game this year in the first half.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, for sure he has. Okay, in the first half. Got it.
And offensively, like, Aaron Jones is their best threat, and they just don't give him the ball much. And I know he was hurt a while ago, but
yeah,
he's playing.
Yeah.
Use him. And, like, Love, like, just nothing downfield is worth a hot shit. Like, completes one pass. Pass 15 to 20 yards per week, and people are like, see, he can do it. Yeah, well, it's horrible. And every time I look, he's like, oh, he's 6 for 13 for 40 yards. Bitch, throw the ball down. Come on. But, you know, right now, slated to have the 6th overall pick. We need to get a little bit higher so we can draft an actual quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, other than that, like, Packers stink. I remember I said they were going to win 6 games this year. They're at 2.
Mm-hmm.
They're close to on pace for just getting 6 wins.
Yeah, could be less at this point.
Yeah, and A.J. Hawk on Pat McAfee's show yesterday was like, look, if they don't turn it around, they've got 2 more weeks, and they're out of the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
In the NFC. Like, they won't have a shot at playoffs. And at that point, what are you even doing? Like, if you're not playing, if you're not going to get into the playoffs, like, at that point, it's full tank mode.
Yep.
And LaFleur, he's been exposed as not a very good head coach.
Man, I was going to say, I'm surprised, you know, he wasn't one of the first ones let go.
Like, I'm not surprised because it's his first year without Rodgers. Mm. But, like, I can't see this, like, they came off of the bye week and scored 0 points in the first half against the Denver fucking Broncos, who's arguably one of the worst defenses in the NFL. Off of a bye week and you score 0 in the first half?
Right.
Like, that's a fireable offense almost.
Yeah.
It's as close as you get. And then they look like trash in the first half. I think they scored 3 in the first half against Minnesota. So you're coming in clearly not prepared for what you're about to get yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
And then second half, you put up some numbers, but you still look like shit. It's just,
it's a rough.
I'm not used to this.
Yeah.
I asked people a couple weeks ago, I was like, one, what's it like? Like, how do I deal with having such a shitty quarterback? I've never had to do this. I've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers my entire football fandom life. How do I handle this?
Two really great games from Matt Flynn, goddammit.
Yeah. Fuck, that guy got generational wealth off of those two games, too. He tricked everybody.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, okay, I don't know what it's like to have just a team that is just the shits.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is awful. It sucks. Mm. But I'm not, you know, I'm not forced. Like, this is the first year I text Nick this on Sunday. Like, you realize our games aren't on TV every week for the first time in, like, forever.
Yeah.
Like, we have to have extra packages just to watch our team suck.
Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a world always foreign to me. I don't know what it's like. And quite frankly, I hate it.
The thing that sucks with my team is I'm just numb to it at this point. I've seen,
I never want to get there.
I've seen 3 playoff appearances.
Ooh.
in my fandom, right? Because I wasn't a I watched football when I was younger, right? But never like was like, oh, that's my team. I just
you weren't riding with them with Mark Rippon and Art Monk.
No, see, nope, wasn't. I wasn't able to experience the glory days of this franchise. I've gone through, Rex Grossman, John Beck, Jason Campbell, who legitimately might have been one of the best quarterbacks in my fandom. RG3 was really dope for like a half a season until he got hurt. Obviously, Kirk Cousins, Taylor Heineke, Alex Smith. It's been a lot, man. It's been a lot. Now Sam Howell. Speaking of my team, damn near beat the Eagles, and then they turned into the Commanders that we all know and hate and lose 38-31. The promising thing about this game was Heineke wasn't sacked, so that was cool.
Heineke or Howell?
Or Howell. See? God, I'm so... Howell wasn't sacked. See, I'm just like a beaten dog. It's sad. He did throw one pick. He started out the game like 14 for 14. He threw for almost 400 yards. 397 yards, four touchdowns, one pick. Jalen Hurts looked good in the second half. And A.J. Brown looked like a monster.
He's definitely good at football. Yeah.
For you, would you right now, like they say, all right, who you have two options at receiver and you can have either one. A.J. Brown or Tyreek Hill. Who are you going with?
It's hard not to say Hill because his speed is just unguardable. And that's something that is just like it opens an entire side of the field up for everybody else. Now, A.J. Brown is ridiculously good, but it'd be hard to not take Hill in that scenario just because of like A.J. Brown's not slow, but Tyreek Hill he's just fast as shit. It's insane.
I'm going to briefly comment on this game and then we'll move forward to a few others, but Seahawks Browns, I just don't think the Browns, I don't know how the fuck they're 4-3 outside of their defense is really good. They just make some stupid play calls offensively. They really don't have a quarterback. I know everyone was like hyped for Watson to be there and I know he's gone in and out of injuries, but, PJ Walker, like it was like, I think it was 3rd-and-3. And we all know P.J. Walker can't pass to anybody and make a solid completion. He threw a pick. Seahawks get the ball back and score. I don't know. I like the Seahawks in the West, especially now that the 49ers look kind of human, I guess, for lack of a better term. Did you watch this at all, or should we just move on?
I didn't watch any of this one, no. Okay. Like, I'm with you. Like, I don't know how the Browns are treading water, and the Deshaun Watson situation is weird. Like he was cleared but he didn't want to play, and then he did play and then suddenly the injury was worse out the gate. And I don't know if you saw his quarterback trainer go back and forth with Brady Quinn on Twitter. That was kind of funny.
Oh no, what was like it?
Brady Quinn made a happy ending joke.
Oh, Twitter. Yes.
and his trainer's like, that's the one you've been waiting to get off. Like, that's the one. Like, come on. Like, you're an analyst. Like, be professional. And
yeah. I mean, it's funny, though.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed. So,
yeah. We talked about Tyreek Hill just barely. You know who is a team that would love to have Tyreek Hill is the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes. This season so far makes zero sense. They lose to the Denver Broncos. I know it's in Denver, right? It's a little chilly. They said Mahomes had the flu, but they lose 24-9. The offense of the Chiefs look like dog shit. There's the whole like, oh, when Taylor Swift's there, if I got to hear one more fucking thing, I've said it the last 3 weeks about Taylor Swift, but they brought it up. And I loved when, I think it was Al Michaels. They asked him, they said, hey, why don't you talk about Taylor Swift? And he goes, I'm not Access Hollywood. I'm calling a football game. I was like, fuck yeah.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah. But 9-24. Like, what was this about? Like, do we just chalk it up to Mahomes had flu? Because they were getting after him. Like, he looked, I think there was 3 sacks for 28 yards. But like the pressures were there. I think I saw two of those sacks on the last drive of the game, or one of the last drives of the game for Kansas City, rather. I just don't know what to think about these guys.
Yeah, it's been an offensive struggle without – I mean, last year they didn't miss a beat without Hill, and I don't know what the difference is this year. Maybe it's that OC they lost. Maybe it is Bieniemy being gone. Maybe it's a number of things. I don't know, but
yeah,
it could just be the game of football is a weird, fickle bitch sometimes, and you don't know what to do with it, right? But I actually watched most of this game. My dad's a Broncos fan, and we were at his house doing pumpkin carving for the kids, and it was like – Ethan was like, "Oh, Papa, who do you think's going to win?" And it was halftime, and the Broncos had the lead. And my dad was like, "Shit, the Chiefs? I don't trust the Broncos to hold on to this." And then they won, and he was like, "Well, I'll be damned. Yep, we'll look like shit next week for sure."
Oh, I feel your dad's pain, man. I feel that pain. Let's jump to, I mean, Bengals beat the brakes off the 49ers. We talked about the 49ers looking kind of pedestrian. Bengals look like they've kind of figured it out, especially, I mean, that Niners defense is really good. And for them to lay 31 on them is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Is Purdy just, I don't know, like we were all praising him and me included on how good he looked. But is it, do you think Deebo Samuel makes that much of a difference?
I do. I think in the past game he does, because now, I mean, they've got Kittle and they've got Ayuk who are good. But having that third one makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Now, Purdy's looked pretty bad, but, I mean, there was one pick that everybody's like, oh, that's a horrible interception, where the linebacker jumps up, knocks the ball in the air, and then interceptions are like, sometimes it's just a really good play by the defense.
Right. God forbid someone gets credit.
Yeah. And so, but, I mean, he hasn't looked good. Again, game of football, it goes up and down just like anything else. And he's in a rough spot, and whatever it is to get him out of it, like it might just be, hey, we're going to turn and hand it off to Christian McCaffrey more, and we're going to keep it short in the pass game, try and get him more comfortable. Because once you start completing a few passes, you get in that zone, you start to feel better. And I don't know. But he hasn't looked as good. I don't think he's trash just out of nowhere. I don't think it's like, oh, well, this is why he was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. Like, because still, as a starter, he's been more good than he's been bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We'll just have to give it some time. Bengals look good, though. So I still feel confident in them going to the Super Bowl, possibly. I don't know. We'll see. Again, October. I don't know what the
anybody
hell.
Can.
We don't know. Chargers beat the hell out of the Bears. Nothing to really talk about there. Herbert looked good with a cast on his non-throwing hand, finger, middle finger, I think it was. But it's the Bears, and to be expected. Unless you're the Commanders playing against Justin Fields on a Thursday night, then that totally changes things. Last game, Detroit. Man, Jahmyr Gibbs, bro. Holy smokes, he looked fucking great in this game. 152 yards rushing, another 37 receiving. Just looked tough against this Vegas defense where, every tackle was celebrated until the third quarter, end of the third quarter. Especially by Max Crosby. It was like, yeah, this is my fucking house. And it's like, you guys are getting beat. Okay. Maybe you just think about that. Offensively, though, Jimmy G looked pretty bad. They just announced also they are going with the backup, and I failed to remember his name. He'll start this upcoming.
Aiden O'Connell? Or
there you go. Yep, O'Connell. Yep. They're starting him against the Giants, which might be Danny DeVito against O'Connell. Our boy
the
Daniel.
Matchup we've all been waiting for. Yeah,
my boy Daniel Tate is headed. He said he's getting 50-yard line third row for $45.
He probably overpaid.
Yeah, no shit. But we're just gonna leave that there. The Raiders look bad. They fire their coach and
their GM and their OC.
Yeah, they've got Antonio Pierce, who used to play for the Giants years ago. He's gonna be the head coach this weekend. So maybe they'll do like, you remember the movie Eddie? Where with Whoopi Goldberg, Remember that? Where she's like a New York Knicks fan and she like wins some halftime thing and then she becomes a coach. Maybe they'll do that there in Vegas. Just see how that works.
Can't get worse.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Couple of trades to talk about real quick. My Commanders decided to trade both of the outside edge rushers, edge pass rushers in Montez Sweat to the Bears, which that didn't make sense. I mean, from a Commander's perspective, it made sense. They got a really, potentially really, really high second round pick next year, or this upcoming draft rather, for him. And he was on the end of his deal. He was probably going to leave. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And all things pointed to, if they're getting rid of Sweat, well, they're probably going to keep my other guy. And instead, they go ahead and trade him to the 49ers. I don't know what the fuck the Commanders are doing. Chase Young to the 49ers, though, really helps them. He's not looked at as like the main guy that has to get to the quarterback. And I think that makes that defensive line much, much scarier for the 49ers. But again, it's the offense that's really having a hard time. What else? Leonard Williams to the Seahawks from the Giants. That's pretty tough. I like what they did there. Any other trades that stuck out to you or anything? Josh Dobbs, as we talked about, Kirk Cousins getting hurt. Josh Dobbs going to Minnesota.
So, yeah, that one's interesting because Kyler Murray is in week two of his three-week period where if he doesn't come back and play, he's back on IR for the rest of the year. So maybe that means that Kyler Murray is back playing, if not this week, next week. That would be my assumption because you don't get rid of the guy that's been starting for you because I couldn't tell you who their backup is. I don't follow Arizona Cardinal football near close enough to know that. Right. But so you'd assume Kyler Murray is coming back because of that one. And then I mentioned to you before we got on here that Rasul Douglas being traded from the Packers to the Bills to help the Bills secondary out because they lost Tre'Davious White for the season. So getting another – and Rasul Douglas is a good corner. He's played well since he's been in Green Bay. He was good before he got there. So that's a good pickup for the Bills probably. But, yeah, outside of that, like, I didn't see any trades that were like, well, you took a fence contender to over-the-top contender.
Right.
The ones from your team, like, is like, okay, are they tanking?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck, man.
Like, I mean, because both of them were going to need new contracts, right?
Correct.
Or was it just, so, I mean, that's also a financial future move.
Yeah.
With the new ownership.
One of the things that I was listening to a podcast, and this guy was just talking about all NFL trades, like it wasn't a Commander-specific podcast, because I don't believe in listening to those, because it gives you a false sense of what your team is really doing. Hence, like, you get a lot of like Cowboys fans that are follow Cowboys, you know, Weedem Boys, or like Eagles, all of them. Like, they all, like, the fan blogs are just ugh, in the podcast. So I just like listening to national ones that talk about every team. Anyways, this dude was like, hey, the thing with the Commanders is like, yeah, Chase Young had potential. He was always hurt. Sweat is a really good edge rusher. They got rid of both of them because they were going to need new contracts. And the reality of it is the defense sucked with them. And I was like, well, I guess that's kind of true when you put it like that, you know? He said, and the guy was saying, like, I don't understand what the Bears are doing in doing that trade and getting rid of their second round pick. But he's like, whatever, and talked about how second round picks are very valuable, especially higher ones. He did say, like, he thought that Chase Young would have they would have kept him, and giving up a third round or getting a third round for what was once the second overall pick kind of seems like they're just like saying, okay, yeah, we fucked up. When they didn't, I don't think. It's just that he was not healthy.
He was playing. I haven't watched a whole lot, but I think it was Lewis Riddick on ESPN. So it's like Chase Young's played really well this year.
He's been really good this year.
So, yeah. I mean, he had the injury, kind of a rough year coming back from that, and then playing good this year. Anybody that traded for him might be like, we can sign him to a deal after this. Or if he comes, and same with Sweat, right? Like, the Bears could be like, we see him as a guy we can keep here for another 4 or 5 years. Let's pay him.
Yep.
And same thing, if he goes to San Francisco and he fits in, like, awesome. If not, at the end of the year he's gone and you lost a third round pick, you're like, okay.
Yep.
Whatever.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I'm sick of my team. All right, let's move to this upcoming week. Predict some games. Thursday, we're going to see if Will Levis is real. The real deal, Holyfield. He goes against the Steelers defense that is really good, right? That has pretty much, in my opinion, won them every game they've played, every game they've won. But we get Tennessee going into Pittsburgh right now at home. Pittsburgh is favored by 2.5. What do you think?
I'm gonna ride with, I'll say the Steelers win this one. I don't really have like a rhyme or reason. Those Thursday night games are ugly. I won't even use this one to like grade Will Levis because the Thursday night games are always, you know, offensively ugly. And so I'll say the Steelers win by a field goal.
Yeah, I hate Thursday games because I feel like it just doesn't give you a good, like you said, you're not going to be able to really grade Levis on this one unless he absolutely is dog shit, right? But just for sake of going against you, I'll go Tennessee. I don't have any rhyme or reason in that. I just, you know, I don't think the Steelers are good. I mean, we'll probably get TJ Watt with like 4 or 5, or we'll say 3 sacks would be the over-under, right? 3.5. But tons of quarterback pressure. So, yeah. Let's see what else we have. And this is another game that I don't know how to predict. This is in Frankfurt, Germany. Here in Salt Lake City, wake up on Sunday, 7:30 a.m. is kickoff time. Chiefs, Dolphins. What a great game to send to Germany. Like, in all reality, one really fun offense, one really good defense. And you got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. I don't know what Taylor Swift is doing at this time, but I think that, you know, anyways, Chiefs favored by 2 in Frankfurt. How can you even give a fucking line, number one? But go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Like, then they're, who knows, like, when they actually travel out there, like, what day of the week they're going out there. They probably happen in either today or tomorrow, I would assume.
Yeah.
Because that's a long-ass flight. It's a lot of, and so, but those, that's a, it is an early game our time, but they'll be fine. I don't really know. I'm gonna say the Dolphins win because I think they've looked consistently better. They looked kind of rough when they played the Eagles, but I don't think the Chiefs defense is as good as the Eagles, so they won't have those kinds of problems. But I'm gonna say Dolphins.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the offense of the Chiefs is just like, I don't know, man. They're just not Chief, you know. I don't know. And coming off that game, maybe they bounce back, but I'm going to go with the Dolphins as well. Now we get into like regular U.S. soil games. God damn it. Seahawks, Ravens in Baltimore at home. This is big. 6-2 Ravens, 5-2 Seahawks. At home, Ravens are favored by 5.5.
I'll take the Ravens at home. Long trip for Seattle. Should be a good game. I don't think it's going to even be probably a full touchdown game either way. But the Ravens have been quietly pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that weird?
Outside of a couple weeks where I probably said like, oh well, they suck offensively. Lamar sucks, but.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, like, you're not 6-2 because you're shitty.
Right. I agree. I'm going to go Baltimore as well, especially at home. I think it's just going to be too tough for the Seahawks. And Geno hasn't looked great. Like, he looked really good last year, and he just kind of looks mediocre this year so far. Cardinals, Browns. I don't remember the dude's name who's starting for the Cardinals. Gannon, maybe. Does that sound familiar? I don't know. But also going up against the Browns, who, you know, Deshaun Watson was practicing today, but like, really, who gives a shit? At home, the Browns are favored by 8. I'm going to pick the Browns to win this game, but I'm going to say 8's too high and they don't cover. What are your thoughts?
Your Cardinals are spread killers, right? I
mean, that's killer, baby.
That's what you said. I'm going to say the Browns win too. Same thing. Like, probably going to be an uglied up game, but and who knows like what the weather's going to be like out there. I have no idea.
Yeah.
In Cleveland, it can always be shitty, but
right.
Either quarterback in Cleveland is better than whoever the Cardinals will be starting, unless it's Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Yep. And I think the defense of the Browns is just too good. Like way too good.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do we have next? We have Bucks, Texans at Houston. The Texans are favored by 3. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to say the Bucks. Like I bought into like, hey, the Texans are pretty good. And then they did what they did in Carolina. And I'm like, okay, maybe you're not. The Bucks have looked way better than I thought they would this year. And I mean, they even had a chance on that Thursday night game to come back late.
Yeah.
Right. It was the Thursday night game, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to say the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bucks too in this one. I just think it's time for them to get a win on the road. I like CJ Stroud a lot. Not to say that the Bucks have a running game, but also Houston doesn't, right? Like neither one of these teams really have a good running game, but I think I believe in the receivers in Tampa Bay a little bit more. If we could put CJ Stroud in Tampa Bay or vice versa, put those receivers in Houston, I think both teams would benefit, right? So yeah, I will go with you with the Bucks. Bears Saints in New Orleans. I'm just going to say this: and I know you don't play fantasy, so you can get a drink or something. If you need a quarterback in fantasy this week, Derek Carr's your guy. Okay, I'm just going to say that the Bears, even when they win, show a lot of love to the quarterback. And there's a lot of teams on bye this week. If you need a quarterback, Derek Carr. Anyways, Saints favored by 8.5 at home against the Bears, who maybe sweats in pads and jersey, and he's able to get to Derek Carr a few times. But what do you think, Hoop? 8.5.
I'm going to say Saints cover. Bears look awful against the Chargers.
Could you believe Collinsworth in that game? Did you listen to any of his commentary?
I try to ignore him as much as humanly possible while still watching the game.
Man, he's so bad. So Collinsworth was saying that the Bears organization is telling Justin Fields, hey, watch Badgett because we want you to be more like him. And I'm like, in what way? Like, I get Justin Fields isn't like, the best quarterback in the league.
He's not a drop back, sit in the pocket passer.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck is Collinsworth talking about?
And the thing was, like, Badgett played well the week before, right? Like,
yeah.
He played good the week before. He didn't play well against the Chargers. I don't think they're saying, be like this guy. Like,
yeah.
Collinsworth just talking out his ass.
Yeah, just going to go there. We'll speed through the rest of these. Vikings at Falcons. I don't think you could just throw Josh Dobbs in there. But again, Hoop. Week one, I said, there's no way Josh Dobbs is starting against my Commanders. You know who started? Josh Dobbs. So I don't know. But it would be, could potentially be Dobbs Heineke matchup in Atlanta. Atlanta favored by 4.5.
I'm going to say the Falcons with the uncertainty in Minnesota because Jefferson's still not playing either, right?
No.
So, I mean, yeah, even if Dobbs comes like, and does play, I would still say the Falcons would be good enough at home to win.
I'm going to zag. I'm going to go Vikings. I think if they can find a way, this is if Dobbs is starting. Because I think Dobbs, not knowing the offense and nothing about the team, is better than Hall being in those rooms consistently. So if Dobbs plays, Vikings. If not, I'll go Falcons. That's a shitty caveat, but Rams go to face your Packers. Rams coming off of ass whooping. Do they get right against Green Bay in Green Bay? Well, Green Bay is favored by 3 at home. What do you think, Hoop?
Well, they get 3 points for being at home, so there you go. I'm going to say the Rams win. Packers trade away their second best corner So who knows who's going to fill in that spot. Offensively, the Packers have just looked like shit. The Rams the Rams have Cup and now Puka Nacua in there balling with him. I'll say, because Stafford will come in there and take it back to his Detroit days of hating Green Bay and scoring enough points on them.
Give the old Joel Embiid suck it signs, get fined.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Rams win. My Commanders go into New England to play the Pats. New England at home, favored by 3.5. I'm going to go first. I truly hate this. But I'm actually picking the Commanders to win because I just don't think the Pats are very good, especially defensively. Now, to say the Commanders are good defensively would be a lie as well. And now we just lost our two edge rushers. They're definitely not going to be good defensively. But the Pats defense has been really bad this year, and Mac Jones just doesn't seem like he has it. Like, it sounds weird, but I'm like, yeah, I'll take Sam Howell over Mac Jones, right? So I'm going to go Washington. What do you think, Hoop?
I'm going to make the same mistake as you. And last time I picked them, they let me down and looked like shit. So I'm going to take the Commanders too, for the same reasons you are. Like, the Pats have not looked good, like, really at all. Like, they,
yeah,
that Bills game, maybe, but they didn't even like look particularly good. The Bills just looked awful.
Yeah. And to note, the Pats also lost their number one receiver in Kendrick Bourne, ACL. He's done for the year. So I don't know.
Yeah. I'll say Commanders and regret it by Sunday around 4 p.m. probably.
Well, the game's at 11, so it could be Sunday by 12 p.m.
Somebody they can ruin my day by noon.
Next game, Colts Panthers at Carolina. Colts are favored by 2.5. I'll go first on this one. I'm going to take the Colts to win. I think the Panthers got their one win. They feel good, you know, and unfortunately, like, they should be trying to win every game, and not saying that they're not, because they don't have that first round pick. So it's like tanking means nothing, but yeah. I'm going to go with the Colts in this one.
I'm going to take the Colts also. The Colts have been, you know, in games that they've lost, and they've looked pretty good. Their running attack with Taylor and Moss both been balling this year. Minshew, you know, plenty serviceable by all standards of the quarterback position. So I'm gonna take the Colts, and same thing, like, the Panthers just aren't very good. Like,
yeah,
they don't have the first round pick to tank for, but like, they could use it.
Yep. No doubt. And now America's game of the week. Giants go into Vegas to play the Raiders. At home.
This isn't the night game, is it?
No, I'm playing. I said America. I was just joking about America's game.
Oh god, I thought you were serious. I was like, again?
No, no, the night game's great, actually. Giants Raiders, Vegas at home, favored by 2. Again, could be Danny DeVito against Aiden. What's his name?
O'Connell.
Yeah. God, I should know that by now. Who you got?
I'm gonna say the Raiders win, and every player in there wants to spite Josh McDaniels, none more than Davante Adams. Adams is gonna have 15 targets, at minimum, and end the game with like 10 catches, 120, and 2 touchdowns.
Yep, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm going Raiders as well. I just, Jesus, if DeVito is starting for the Giants, I feel bad. It's my guy Daniel Tate's first live NFL game, it's just like,
they're gonna wrap the shit out of Tyrod Taylor's ribs and try to find a way to make it work,
and or give Danny Dimes the what is it those linebackers used to wear, like a neck roll,
the horse collar.
Yeah. Oh man, poor guy. This game though will probably be America's game of the week, because it's Fox and that's what they like to give. The Cowboys go into Philly to play the Eagles. I think this game is going to tell us so much about both of these teams, like tell us a lot. Philly at home favored by 3. What do you think?
Damn, this one I could see going either way. Like, honestly, like the Eagles secondary is not very good. And if Dak can play smart football and mm-hmm. throw the ball with the efficiency he did. Fuck it. I'm going to say Cowboys win, but I won't hate to be wrong.
Yeah. Well, of course not. I'm hoping for a tie in this game because I fucking hate both these teams. But if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with Philadelphia in Philly, and that's the only reason why. I don't really have an intelligent reason outside of that to say that Philly's going to win. Philly's been really up and down defensively, offensively. But on the flip side, you know who else has? Dallas Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
You talked about Dak, and you know our good buddy Robert Chacon talked about Dak being able to find those receivers. Well, yeah, he did in the Rams game. And I know Philly's defense really isn't up to par with what it was last year. I mean, you saw what Sam Howell did to him, my boy Sam Howell. But I still think Philly wins this game. Just being in Philly, I think Philly's a tough place to play. Sunday night, this will be fun. I think it should be fun. I always get excited for games, and then they're kind of letdowns. Bills go into Cincinnati to play the Bengals. Cincinnati at home, favored by 2.
I'm going to take the Bengals, and they've looked better. And like I said, the Bills have been up and down, so I'll take the Bengals in this one.
Got it. Yep, I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think the Bengals are back on track. The Bills, I don't know, just an away game. I feel like Josh Allen kind of fucks up in this one. Joey Burrow's looking tough, so I'm going to go with them. Last game of the week, Monday night, Chargers, Jets. Why do we get this? What did we do to get this game? What did we do to ABC and ESPN and the NFL to have to watch this?
And they scheduled this one thinking like Herbert versus Rodgers.
Exactly.
The Chargers are going to be great and not let us all down again. The Jets are going to be awesome.
It's disgusting. Chargers at on the road, rather, which doesn't matter because they don't really have a home field advantage. Chargers in New York, favored by 3.
I'm going to take the Chargers to win.
Mm-hmm. Same. I think Jets defense is good. Offense is bad. And to win in their last game 13-10 against a team that had like negative passing yards says a lot about them. So I will go with the Chargers as well. Hoop, anything else you want to say before we head out of here?
No, enjoy the rest of your week. Hopefully it was a bad week of football for me all around last week. I mean, it was nice to take the kid to the Utah-Oregon game, but Utah looked like trash. We lost on Friday, so our season's done. The Packers, well, they just suck, so Sunday football was no good. I'm just hoping for a better week of football all around.
Yeah. Yep. I feel you. All right, man. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you. And I think next week we'll have Chacon on here, you know, which
he's a busy man. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah. And, you know, but I want to get his thoughts one way or the other after the Philly game. Because, you know, he always
the comedic purpose will be there.
Yeah. One way or the other, if they lose or they win.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that team. Fuck that team. Those are going to be one of the two ways he starts. But all right, man. Hey, thank you very much. And we will talk to you soon.
Appreciate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to the show this week. I hope you all enjoyed, like I said earlier, 31 days of Halloween. Halloween's over now. So maybe we'll do 12 days of Christmas. Just kidding. I'm going to leave that to my guy, Dre Rocca. In any event, make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram at The Will Wonder Pod. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube, The Will Wonder Pod YouTube. Follow me on Twitter, X, at DJ Will Wonder. See you guys next week. Peace.
This has been a March 15th Media production. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review The Will Wonder Pod. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time. Peace out.